Today is December 17th. Welcome to the Daily Audio Bible. I'm Brian. It's great to be here with you today. Diving into this new week, we'll read the book of Nahum today. Nahum is another book of prophecy written to the city of Nineveh. So we read Jonah just a couple days ago. 150 years later, we're at the book of Nahum. So 150 years earlier, God sent Jonah to this city. And when he delivered God's message, Nineveh fell on its face and repented and were spared. Now, they returned to their wicked ways and are as bad, if not worse, than they ever were. Nineveh was the capital city of the great Assyrian Empire, and its conquests were known to be very brutal. Again, God sends a prophet to Nineveh, Nahum, preaching repentance and a return to God. The Ninevites did not listen this time, and the prophecy of judgment came true in 625 BC with the destruction of Nineveh and the falling of the Assyrian Empire. This prophecy shows that God is merciful and patient, but he is not a pushover, and he will not stand for a nation's sin forever. This should spur us all on to be agents of change in our countries, to be the catalyst for repentance and a return to our God. Nahum, chapters 1 through 3. An oracle concerning Nineveh. The book of the vision of Nahum of Elkosh. The Lord is a jealous and avenging God. The Lord is avenging and wrathful. The Lord takes vengeance on his adversaries and keeps wrath for his enemies. The Lord is slow to anger and great in power. And the Lord will by no means clear the guilty. His way is in whirlwind and storm, and the clouds are the dust of his feet. He rebukes the sea and makes it dry. He dries up all the rivers. Bashan and Carmel wither. The bloom of Lebanon withers. The mountains quake before him. The hills melt. The earth heaves before him. The world and all who dwell in it. Who can stand before his indignation? Who can endure the heat of his anger? His wrath is poured out like fire, and the rocks are broken into pieces by him. The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble. He knows those who take refuge in him, but with an overflowing flood he will make a complete end of the adversaries and will pursue his enemies into darkness. What do you plot against the Lord? He will make a complete end. Trouble will not rise up a second time. For they are like entangled thorns, like drunkards as they drink. They are consumed like stubble, fully dried. From you came one who plotted evil against the Lord, a worthless counselor. Thus says the Lord, though they are at full strength and many, they will be cut down and pass away. Though I have afflicted you, I will afflict you no more. And now I will break his yoke from off you, and will burst your bonds apart. The Lord has given commandment about you. No more shall your name be perpetuated from the house of your gods. I will cut off the carved images and the metal image. I will make your grave, for you are vile. Behold, upon the mountains, the feet of him who brings good news, who publishes peace. Keep your feasts, O Judah. Fulfill your vows, for never again shall the worthless pass through you. He is utterly cut off. The scatterer has come up against you. Man the ramparts. Watch the road. Dress for battle. Collect all your strength. For the Lord is restoring the majesty of Jacob as the majesty of Israel. For plunderers have plundered them and ruined their branches. The shield of his mighty men is red. His soldiers are clothed in scarlet. The chariots come with flashing metal on the day he musters them. The cypress spears are brandished. The chariots race madly through the streets. They rush to and fro through the squares. They gleam like torches. They dart like lightning. He remembers his officers. They stumble as they go. They hasten to the wall. The siege tower is set up. The river gates are opened. The palace melts away. Its mistress is stripped. She is carried off. Her slave girls lamenting, moaning like doves, and beating their breasts. Nineveh is like a pool whose waters run away. Halt! Halt! They cry, but none turns back. Plunder the silver, plunder the gold. There is no end of the treasure or of the wealth of the precious things. Desolate, desolation and ruin. Hearts melt and knees tremble. Anguish is in all loins. All faces grow pale. Where is the lion's den? The feeding place of the young lions, where the lion and lioness went, where his cubs were, with none to disturb. The lion tore enough for his cubs and strangled prey for his lionesses. He filled his caves with prey and his dens with torn flesh. Behold, I am against you, declares the Lord of hosts, and I will burn your chariots in smoke, and the swords shall devour your young lions. I will cut off your prey from the earth, and the voice of your messengers shall no longer be heard. Woe to the bloody city, all full of lies and plunder, no end to the prey. The crack of the whip and rumble of the wheel, galloping horse and bounding chariot, horsemen charging, flashing sword and glittering spear, hosts of slain, heaps of corpses, dead bodies without end. They stumble over the bodies, and all for the countless whorings of the prostitute. Graceful and of deadly charms, who betrays nations with her whorings and peoples with her charms. Behold, I am against you, declares the Lord of hosts, and will lift up your skirts over your face, and I will make nations look at your nakedness, and kingdoms at your shame. I will throw filth at you and treat you with contempt, and make you a spectacle. And all who look at you will shrink from you and say, wasted is Nineveh. Who will grieve for her? Where shall I seek comforters for you? Are you better than Thebes, that sat by the Nile, with water around her, her rampart a sea, and water her wall? Cush was her strength, Egypt too, and that without limit. Put and the Libyans were her helpers, yet she became an exile. She went into captivity. Her infants were dashed in pieces at the head of every street. For her honored men, lots were cast, and all her great men were bound in chains. You also will be drunken. You will go into hiding. You will seek a refuge from the enemy. All your fortresses are like fig trees with first ripe figs. If shaken, they fall into the mouth of the eater. Behold, your troops are women in your midst. The gates of your land are wide open to your enemies. Fire has devoured your bars. Draw water for the siege. Strengthen your forts. Go into the clay. Tread the mortar. Take hold of the brick mold. There will the fire devour you. The sword will cut you off. It will devour you like the locust. Multiply yourselves like the locust. Multiply like grasshopper. You increased your merchants more than the stars of the heavens. The locust spreads its wings and flies away. Your princes are like grasshoppers, your scribes like clouds of locusts settling on the fences in a day of cold. When the sun rises, they fly away. No one knows where they are. Your shepherds are asleep, O king of Assyria. Your nobles slumber. Your people are scattered on the mountains, with none to gather them. There is no easing your hurt. Your wound is grievous. All who hear the news about you clap their hands over you, for upon whom has not come, your unceasing evil. Revelation 8. When the Lamb opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven for about half an hour. Then I saw the seven angels who stand before God, and the seven trumpets were given to them. And another angel came and stood at the altar with a golden censer, and he was given much incense to offer with the prayers of all the saints on the golden altar before the throne. And the smoke of the incense with the prayers of the saints rose before God from the hand of the angel. And the angel took the censer and filled it with fire from the altar and threw it on the earth. And there were peals of thunder, rumblings, flashes of lightning, and an earthquake. Now the seven angels who had the seven trumpets prepared to blow them. The first angel blew his trumpet, and there followed hail and fire mixed with blood, and these were thrown upon the earth. And a third of the earth was burned up, and a third of the trees were burned up, and all green grass was burned up. The second angel blew his trumpet, and something like a great mountain burning with fire was thrown into the sea, and the sea became blood. A third of the living creatures in the sea died, and a third of the ships were destroyed. The third angel blew his trumpet, and a great star fell from heaven, blazing like a torch, and it fell on a third of the rivers and on the springs of water. The name of the star is Wormwood. A third of the waters became wormwood, and many people died from the water because it had been made bitter. The fourth angel blew his trumpet, and a third of the sun was struck, and a third of the moon, and a third of the stars, so that a third of their light might be darkened, and a third of the day might be kept from shining, and likewise a third of the night. Then I looked, and I heard an eagle crying with a loud voice as it flew directly overhead. Woe, woe, woe to those who dwell on the earth at the blast of the other trumpets that the three angels are about to blow. Psalm 136. His steadfast love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Give thanks to the God of gods, for his steadfast love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord of lords, for his steadfast love endures forever. To him who alone does great wonders, for his steadfast love endures forever. To him who by understanding made the heavens, for his steadfast love endures forever. To him who spread out the earth above the waters, for his steadfast love endures forever. To him who made the great lights, for his steadfast love endures forever. The sun to rule over the day, for his steadfast love endures forever. The moon and stars to rule over the night, for his steadfast love endures forever. To him who struck down the firstborn of Egypt, for his steadfast love endures forever, and brought Israel out from among them, for his steadfast love endures forever. With a strong hand and an outstretched arm, for his steadfast love endures forever. To him who divided the Red Sea in two, for his steadfast love endures forever, and made Israel pass through the midst of it, for his steadfast love endures forever, but overthrew Pharaoh and his host in the Red Sea, for his steadfast love endures forever. To him who led his people through the wilderness, for his steadfast love endures forever. To him who struck down great kings, for his steadfast love endures forever, and killed mighty kings, for his steadfast love endures forever. Sihon, king of the Amorites, for his steadfast love endures forever. And Og, king of Bashan, for his steadfast love endures forever. And gave their land as a heritage, for his steadfast love endures forever. A heritage to Israel, his servant, for his steadfast love endures forever. It is he who remembered us in our low estate, for his steadfast love endures forever, and rescued us from our foes, for his steadfast love endures forever. He who gives food to all flesh, for his steadfast love endures forever. Give thanks to the God of heaven, for his steadfast love endures forever. Proverbs 30, 7 through 9. Two things I ask of you. Deny them not to me before I die. Remove far from me falsehood and lying. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with the food that is needful for me, lest I be full and deny you, and say, "Who is the Lord?" Or lest I be poor and steal and profane the name of my God. I can scarcely imagine silence in heaven described in the book of Revelation. Of course, I've never been to heaven, but in all of the descriptions I've ever heard, I cannot imagine everything falling silent before the things that were about to be poured out on earth, the things that would happen on earth. And of course, when the silence was over, many very trying things happened to the earth, are spoken of and prophesied of. And we still have more to read. And then we move into the psalm and receive the promise once again of the steadfast and enduring love of God for his children. And we rest upon that. I used to, as a kid, hate to hear things from the book of Revelation, things from the book of Daniel, things about the end times, because they frightened me. They scared me. I didn't want to know about them. I didn't want to acknowledge or think that I could face or see any of that. I would just hope that it wouldn't happen in my lifetime, or just hope that Christ would return and I wouldn't have to deal with any of that. And silence in heaven is more profound than the most roaring of any noise caused by anything. It's such a sobering thought. And yet Jesus speaks of the end times with all of the prophecy and all of the years of people trying to navigate and sort out what means what and where we might fall on any timeline. And as difficult as some of that can be, Jesus spoke of the end times. And essentially what Jesus, out of his own mouth, said as he walked the earth was that these things would happen, yes, and that they must happen, because they are birthing pains. These things give birth to the kingdom coming, to the restoration of all things. And Jesus' posture is not one of sensationalism. He's not hyping anything. He's just saying, you'll understand when these things begin to happen, that they must happen. So rather than walking in fear of them or trying to keep them from happening, you need to understand that these things are the labor, are the birthing pains of the coming kingdom. And so they must happen. And we shouldn't live in fear of them. And I have taken those words personally to heart because I find them comforting. It is comforting to know that no matter what happens, nothing can separate us from the love of God. It is comforting that in the face of silence in heaven and great tribulation on earth, His steadfast love endures forever. Forever. And the reality is, we have to adjust our thinking. If we think of the end times with fear and trepidation, I've confessed at the very beginning of all of this, I'm not an eschatologist. I'm not a specialist on the end times. But in this, I know. This is a point of shift in our own hearts and minds. If we have great fear of the things that may come upon the world, and we don't want them to come, then we certainly can't truly from our hearts pray, come, Lord Jesus. We can't say, come, Holy Spirit, come, because we're essentially saying, come into my life and keep it comfortable, not bring your kingdom, not establish your kingdom on earth, because there's no other way to get from here to there than through the things spoken of by Jesus and through the prophets. These things are the birthing pains to the coming kingdom. So if our prayer is, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, then we are essentially praying, hasten the day. Come, Jesus, come. And so may we deeply consider where the posture of our heart lies as we look for the coming kingdom and the restoration of all things, because it is a fantastic opportunity for us to check our own hearts. Do we want the coming kingdom and the restoration of all things? Do we want the sovereign God of heaven's armies and His Son, King Jesus, on the throne of the earth, restoring it to its former glory, to its initial creation? Do we want back Eden? Or do we want a smaller story? Do we want a much simpler version of that, which is just our comfort? Do we just want hardship to go away? What do you really want? Do you want your personal comfort? Or do you want the eradication of sin and death and the restoration of this earth so that we live eternally in His presence? And there are no more things like school shootings and cancer and heart attack and sudden death and long, prolonged, painful, agonizing death. Because there's no way from here to there but through the silence in heaven and all of the things that come. So if our prayer is, come, Lord Jesus, come, we need to understand what we're saying and embrace the birthing of the kingdom, because there's no other way. And so, Jesus, we humble ourselves to your sovereign will. The kingdom is coming. This is what the prophets said. This is what the prophecies say. We don't know the time. We can't sort out what everything means. We've tried for years. and we can get into hysterics over it. But the kingdom is coming. Whether we like it or not, the kingdom is coming. Holy Spirit, we ask that you begin to change the posture of our hearts and understand what role we play in that in human history, and that we align ourselves with your will. The kingdom is coming, and you have invited us to not only participate in it, but to be joint heirs with you in it. We just don't like the birth of it. It's frightening. And yet, to be anything less than aligned with the coming of the kingdom is to truly challenge what it is we believe and what we desire. It really exposes the postures of our own hearts. So, Holy Spirit, we ask you to begin to reveal in us what it is we really want in a relationship with you, and what it is we really want in the coming of the kingdom. We ask you and invite you to speak and to transform us. In your name we pray. Amen. www.dailyaudiobible.com is the website. And the website, of course, is... it's under renovation, but it's where we meet. It's community central, so come get involved. You can put your pin in the Daily Audio Bible world. If this is the first time you've ever heard me talk about that, go to dailyaudiobible.com and click the little link that says, put your pin in the Daily Audio world. Make your mark on the Daily Audio Bible world. It's the coolest thing. Click that link and a world will open up, and you'll be able to see all the people who have put their pins in the world. It gives us a little microcosm, this little view into the community around the world. And it's just so fun to fly around and look at. I do it most every day. It's fun to play with. So check that out. Put your pin in the world. Of course, it's the holiday season, so you might want to check out the Daily Audio Bible store. We have a great gift box this year. Fantastic gift ideas. A lot of different things that we find excellent. I find our stuff excellent. Like, it's finally where I always dreamed it would be. We have excellent Daily Audio Bible stuff. So check it out. Great stuff to give away for Christmas. If you want to partner with the Daily Audio Bible here in the final stanzas of the year 2012, I thank you deeply for your partnership. There's a link on the homepage. It says support your Daily Audio Bible. If you prefer, the mail is P.O. Box 1996, Spring Hill, Tennessee, 37174. If you have a prayer request or comment, 877-942-4253 is the number to call. That's it for today. I love you. I'm Brian. We're waiting for you here tomorrow.
This is Mark in Dallas, Texas, and I'm calling to tell Mary in Mississippi that I am praying for you. That's all I wanted to say. Thanks, and God bless everyone.
Hi, Daily Audio Bible family. This is Mavis from New York. I have a prayer request. Over the last maybe 2 days, I've noticed that I've broken out in hives or an eczema flare-up that's spreading over my hands and limbs, and I'm on my way to the hospital. But I know that I'm already healed because by his stripes I am healed, and he came that I might be restored from all my illnesses, and he has rescued me from this bed of illness. So I'm just expecting to go to the hospital, and it's going to end up being a moment where I can really just share Jesus with the hospital staff. And that's what's going to come out of this. And this whatever this distraction or apparent fact is, it's going to go away and be to his glory. So just pray that God is glorified through this situation, because that's all it is, physical situation. And I will call back with a praise report of someone getting saved in the hospital. Love you, family. Thank you.
Hey, DAB brothers and sisters, this is Corey from New Haven, West Virginia, and I am calling to ask for prayer for my father-in-law. His name is David Eads. He was, I guess he was just diagnosed with bladder cancer. I found that out literally about an hour ago, and it is December 5th. But I know that our God is able to heal him. I don't believe he is safe. So more than anything, please pray with me that he will receive Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior, and pray that his wife will as well. That's my wife's stepmother. Her name is Sarah. So if you guys could pray for us, pray for our family. I know my wife Amber is very distraught right now, obviously, because it's her dad and they're very close. And bar some family issues that have come up over the past year, just pray that God will intervene, that his Holy Spirit will intervene, and that God will heal them and set them free and mend that broken relationship and between our families, and just pray for his healing. And I pray that he sees and knows that when God heals him, that it is God. And that it's none other. And I love you guys. I've been praying for everybody that called in. So God bless you guys. Thank you, Brian and Jill, for all that you and your family do. And we love you guys. And I will call you soon with a praise report.
Hi, DAB family. I haven't called in a while. This is Janet from Tennessee. I just want to call with a prayer request. And also to just let y'all know that all the prayers that are going out and calling in, I am praying for you. I don't have everybody's name written down, but as I'm listening to them, I am praying. I have a prayer request for myself as well as my sister. It's kind of strange that we both have a bladder infection at the same time. But my prayer request is, I'm hoping that mine is not turning into something else because I'm on the second round of antibiotics, and tomorrow's my last day, and I still have quite a bit of pain in the middle of the night. So I'm just praying and believing that God's going to heal me, and it's not going to be an issue, and I just ask that everybody pray for me. Thank you so much. Love y'all, and I hope you have a great Christmas. Bye-bye.
Hello, DAB family. This is Marilyn from Lakewood, Ohio. Called a couple weeks ago asking for prayer for a job. Although I still don't have a job, this is a praise report that I want to share with you. Today I went into a local Target store, and while I was there, I heard a very loud, distinctive voice in the store, and I can tell that this person, it was a male voice, a speech problem, as his enunciation was halted and slow. Upon checking out, I found the owner of the voice. He was to be my cashier, but more than that, my teacher. I had been feeling down about not getting a job and the Christmas season and not being able to buy all the things I wanted to buy that day and feeling a bit rejected. As I laid down my purchases, I was greeted by this cashier with a friendly greeting that asked me how I was. And I said, I'm fine, lying, but being polite. And I asked, how are you? Not bad, he said. I looked at him with pity now, and I said, I'm sorry. And I could tell his one hand was atrophied, and he was a little slow, and he was very thin and frail, and I knew he had some challenges, and I felt sorry for him. But he responded, I'm not so good. I'm great. With this, he pointed to his name badge with Scott, and he said, I'm great, Scott. I smiled and told him how wonderful that was, and that what a privilege it was to be in the line with someone who was so positive. And he asked, and then he said to me, do you know what 12 o'clock means to me? I said, no. And he said, it means I'm scot-free, he said cheerfully. Honest to God, I left the store and I clutched my bag and tears were flowing down my face. And I just thank God for this encounter with this beautiful, beautiful man. this positive, uplifting experience. Great Scott lifted me out of myself today, and I thank God for him and this sweet man. And I just wanted to share this with you, and it gave me courage to continue on with what I have to do. God bless you all.